Thank you for tuning into our podcast. You're listening today to a message on salvation, one of the most important messages that we can preach. Enjoy. If we're going to let people know about Christ, we have to understand the salvation message ourselves. I don't know each and every person here today, but I believe most of you have accepted Christ. You've experienced salvation for you. But do you understand it enough to share it with somebody else who might be asking? And so every once in a while, I like to preach a message that's just about salvation. What it's about, what it means for us, and how we would give it to others. So we're going to do that today. So I'm going to give you some verses, kind of the main points about, well, why do you need to be saved? You know, if you're talking to somebody who doesn't know church and doesn't understand, and you're saying you need to be saved, they're probably going to look at you and go, saved from what? I feel just fine. Now, some people are in a real struggle and they're thankful for anything, but not everybody. And so you need to know, well, why does somebody need to be saved? There's some things like that we're going to look at. But today, as we do the message, I'm going to give you a few verses. If you're witnessing to a friend or maybe a family member who knows nothing about salvation or Christ, you need to be able to talk about when it happened for you. And it should be real. Now, let me say, let's just think, if it's a relative and you're like, you know, you need to be saved, and you know they don't really know why or what, and they say, well, are you saved? Yeah. Oh, tell me about it. Well, I don't really remember, but my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. It should be a little more than that. We should remember, and we should be able to tell what it means to us. Okay? So we're going to look at that today. One of the greatest messages, of course, of all time is called the Good News, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Good news for all people. Remember when the angel spoke to the shepherds, right? And he said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. In other words, good news for all people. This day in the city of David is born the Son, Jesus Christ. This is an amazing story that we have, and it needs to continue to be told. Every generation, every person. And you and I get the privilege of carrying the greatest message of all time in us. And we get to share it. I want you to understand that before we even begin. It is a privilege. It is a joy. Think about it this way. If there was a great leader and they had a message that they wanted to tell their people, they would choose somebody that they trusted greatly to go take that message. And even in our Bible, in Old Testament times, we'll read of how they had certain men who were chosen to run with the message and take it to where it needed to be. They didn't have emails or snail mail. You had a runner. And it was a high honor to be chosen to be that person to take the message. And those runners were greatly respected, and they were obviously in pretty good shape. Because in battle times, they had to be quick and not get shot with arrows or spears and get the message. It was an honor. I want you to understand what God has given you. It is an honor. He says, you're one of my runners. I want you to take this message. All right? So please understand that as we go through this. This is not a duty. This is not a religious thing. It is an honor to carry the message that God has given, the good news. All right, so let's just begin with this and the point of why do we need to be saved anyhow? You know, what is all this about salvation in Jesus? Why do we need to be saved? Here's the main point to begin. Sin separates from God and brings eternal death. Okay, so this is kind of the foundation for why anybody needs to be saved. Genesis, I'm going to give you some verses. I'm not going to read them all today, but I will give them to you. So Genesis 2, 15 and 18, and then also chapter 3, 1 to 19. And of course, that's where we read the story of Adam and Eve. And we read how they were deceived and chose to disobey God. And remember, I shared this a number of weeks ago, the serpent, or the devil using the serpent, deceived Eve, not just to eat an apple. Sometimes we make the story a bit too simple. He didn't deceive her to just eat an apple, but he completely deceived her to think that she needed to please herself and fulfill her own desires, and that that was more important than obeying God. The deception is the same deception the devil uses today on people. Don't obey his rules. Fulfill your pleasure and desire. And how do we know that? By the wording that it used. Because it says, when Eve saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eyes and to be desired to make one wise, then she ate the fruit. So the deception was, he convinced Eve, please yourself, fulfill their desires. That's more important than obeying his rule. Don't believe his tricks. He's a liar. But of course, we know what happened. They were tricked. Sin entered into the world, and sin came on all. Sin separated them from God, and they were removed from the Garden of Eden. There was a separation now, and there was a curse that came upon all the earth. Romans 5, verse 12 says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. James 1, 15, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. That's how it ends. The wages of sin is death. So the price of sin is eternal death, separation from God. Revelation 20, verse 10, 14, and 15. And you can just read in the end of Revelation 20 when you have time, if you want to do that today. It's kind of talking about the wrapping up of things. And it says that there's a lake of fire which burns forever and ever, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And anyone who's not found written in the book of life. So this sin that came upon the world creates a separation, death, and eternal separation from God. So there is a problem even if someone's not aware of it. Okay? So we do need to be saved, and there's a reason. We need to once again be united with the Father and to live an eternal life, not eternal death. The second thing that we need to understand when we're talking about salvation in the gospel message is this: all people are sinners. I don't know if you've ever met anybody like this, but sometimes you'll meet someone who doesn't understand church or Christianity, and if you begin to talk to them, they will say, well, I'm good enough. I do more good things than bad things, so I don't need to be saved. I'm going to go to heaven because I do more good than bad. Well, that isn't biblical, and here's the problem. No matter how much good they do, without somebody saving them, they are automatically sinners. Because even a little bit of sin makes us a sinner. All right? And we already know sin separates from God. Let me give you some verses on that. Romans 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So in other words, there's nobody that good. Romans 3, 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5, verse 12, it just says, for all have sinned. 1 John 1, 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay, so yes, there is a problem. And yes, each of us has fallen under that. Therefore, we need a Savior. Here is the next thing we need to understand. There's a problem. We've all come under sin, and we can't save ourselves from sin. This is really key. Nobody has enough inner strength. Nobody has enough self-control. You cannot save yourself. Okay? This is like somebody who is drowning in a lake. You can't just shout out to them, hey, swim harder, or you need to just do this. If they're drowning, they need someone to save them. All right? They can't do it on themselves, by themselves. Let me give you the verses that say that. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, it is a gift. You cannot save yourself. It is a gift. We had a lady who shared last night a bit of her testimony. And she was in a different type of church structure when she accepted Christ, but she said she was at a big meeting, and they said, if you come bring up some money, and then you can talk to the Lord and give yourself to him. It's something how she said it, and she was thinking, I really want to do that, but I have no money. And she said, while she was saying that, she heard a voice say, I don't need your money, I want you. And she said it so moved her, she went up without an offering and gave herself to Christ at that place that she was at. So, not of yourselves, he doesn't want anything you have, he just wants you. All right? Galatians 2:16, man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus. Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And Isaiah 64, 5 and 6, we shall be saved, but we all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. So in other words, you can't save yourself, you need a Savior. All right? We need someone to come and to save us. Thankfully, the Lord had a plan right from the beginning, and he had a Savior coming. And this time of year, we get to talk about it over and over, and that Savior, of course, is Jesus Christ. We cannot save ourselves from sin and its consequences. We talked about that. So what is the solution? Scripture very clearly says that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the only one who can save from sin and its consequences. Let me give you some of those verses. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, God had a solution, and the solution was his only Son. It doesn't say he made a number of different ways. It says his only Son was sent. Acts 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Did you catch that? There's no other name. There's only one way of salvation. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator. Everybody say one. There's only one. His name is Jesus. John 3, verse 36. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. And if you don't believe it, you'll die in your sins. This is Jesus talking very clearly, telling them, I'm the one. I am the Savior. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So Jesus fulfilled that scripture. He made it very clear he was the Savior and he was the only Savior. There aren't two or three Saviors. There's only one, and his name is Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verse 12. He that has the Son hath life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27 clearly says that only those written in the Lamb's book of life have eternal life. So there's only one way. And that way is Jesus. He is our Savior, and he is the one that we must call upon. Christ paid the price for our sin, and he made it possible for our salvation by giving his life on the cross, by shedding his blood, and that is how he paid the price. He actually took our place once and for all. He took our place. He paid the price for all sin. Let me give you a couple of those verses. Hebrews 9:22-28, and I'm not going to read it all, but please do later today if you want. And it very clearly tells us, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So Christ shed his blood for us. And verse 28 said, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. It only had to be done once, and he did it for us. 1 Peter 3:18, he once suffered for sins that he might bring us to God. Romans 5 and verse 8 and 9, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 3:14 and 15, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus, the Savior, hung on a cross for you and I. He was born a baby in a manger, but the purpose of his entire life was to be sacrificed to die for you and I. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 1:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus Christ paid the price. This is good news. We know there's a problem. We know we couldn't do it ourselves. The solution, Jesus Christ paid it. I want to hear a couple more of your stories, and then I want to kind of wrap it up with, okay, then this is true. He paid it. How do I receive it? Because if you're talking to someone who knows nothing about this, you need to make it really clear for them, how do they receive it? Maybe they're suddenly thinking, I want to be saved, I want salvation, but they have no clue how. And again, oftentimes people think they have to do something to get it, or they need to pay for it, or maybe do a religious duty. That's not the case. I want to encourage you who are serving Christ, are you willing to put in some time and effort with others? Because if you are, you'll see them transformed. How do we receive or accept salvation? If you're talking to somebody and you're going to explain to them, here's some verses for you. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. I think I read that already. Also, John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus is talking to Mary and he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believe thou this. Acts 16, 31, and he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house. So how do you receive the salvation that Christ prayed for? It begins simply with, I believe it's for me. Somebody shares it with you, and you realize this is true. This is Christ is the only way. And in your heart, you believe. And then Scripture says, once you believe, you do know, hey, this is real. And I want to say something. Believing doesn't mean you understand everything. Believing means you suddenly have a realization in your spirit, this is true. It's real. Doesn't mean you understand the entire Bible. Definitely doesn't mean you understand God. God is way past finding out, it says. Okay? So if you're waiting to understand everything about God or everything about the gospel or the Bible, that's not what it said. Simply, I believe it's real. I don't get it all, but I just know in my spirit this is real. That's the beginning. And then he says this in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. When there's a believing in the heart, the way you receive that salvation is simply now to speak it. And so often we will encourage and help people by saying, hey, I can say a prayer that you can repeat. It helps them to say words that maybe they're not sure how to say. And then confessing with their mouths, they may say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Save me. I've heard of people saved, obviously, who there was really nobody there to show them how. So they said whatever was on their heart. Lord, you're real. Lord, help me. There is no magic prayer, okay? I want you to know that. The words you use don't matter. It's from your heart, and you believe it. That's what matters. And when you're talking with people, encourage them, help them to understand it's simply that is how it happens. So, salvation. God paid the price. It's for us. It's for anybody who will believe and receive. For anybody. Not for just a special few, but for anybody. There's nobody beyond Christ's reach. You can think of the meanest, ugliest person you know. God wants them. God wants them. And you know, I sometimes think he has a little bit of an extra "I want them" for the really rough people. Because sometimes they're running really hard because the devil is doing everything he can because he's scared if they begin to run for God, he's in big trouble. And of course, that was the case with Paul. Paul hated Christians and was persecuting Christians, having them thrown in jail and some of them killed. And yet, God was after him. Christ wanted him more than anything. And we know that when Christ got a hold of him and changed his mind, he ran just as hard for Christ as he was against Christ. I don't know who in your life you know that is running hard from God. God wants to turn them around so they can run for him. Don't look at those people as untouchable or unreachable. Look at those people as they could be giants for his kingdom. Because already created in them is a drive and a desire to do something. They're just on the wrong path right now. So I want to encourage you this morning. I just feel this is important that we begin to pray for those in our lives who we think are untouchable. And I feel specifically in families here this morning, so I'm going to pray about this in a bit. You maybe have a family member that you think is beyond reach or they've gone way too far. God says no. That's the one I want you to begin to pray for. That's the one I want you to begin to talk to. Because God wants to reach them. And when you're praying for somebody who seems like they are beyond, that they are way too far, you need to pray that the Holy Spirit supernaturally reveals himself to them. Because I can guarantee you, the person who is running hard needs a supernatural encounter, just like Paul did. But it'll be different than Paul's. So when you begin to pray for them, pray, Holy Spirit, do what's needed in the supernatural to get a hold of them. And then you be ready to answer the questions. Because here's the interesting thing. When Paul had that supernatural encounter, it was Christ himself blinded him and talked to him on the road. But that's not when he was saved. Because he still didn't understand. He just knew he'd had a supernatural encounter with God. God sent somebody else to talk to him and to lead him. Just like our sister. Her sister was sent to be the one to talk to you and show you. Like she said after, I didn't really know how to worship or how to do. She began to get taught. Well, the same thing happened with Paul. Somebody was sent to him to make the scripture clear, to help him to understand. You begin to pray for that one that you think is impossible, but you be ready to start answering questions when they ask, because they will ask if you start praying. So right now, I just felt that is a really key thing for this morning. So we're going to stand together, and we're going to pray for the family members, relatives that we think are impossible. So stand with me, and we're going to agree together for salvation for those that are not yet saved. Thank you for tuning in to our Abundant Life Worship Center podcast. If you'd like to know more about our church service, the times, and what we're about, please check our website at www.alwc.church. God bless.